And this is Bob Segal. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder why people who accept the Bible have to be so darn conservative about everything. Actually, I consider myself to be a liberal. That's right, you heard me correctly. I'm a liberal, that is, a true liberal, in the historic sense of the idea and the generic usage of the word, one who marches to the beat of a different drum and does not always follow the pack. One who challenges the conventional wisdom most people have accepted without analysis simply because it comes from staple institutions like the college campus, like the media. Unfortunately, the definition has changed. Today, the term liberal is being used to describe the status quo, the politically correct, or other virtues offered up as sacred. You know what I'm talking about, values taken for granted and portrayed like the only clear, sensible positions. Such people discourage debate, and such people resort to name-calling when they are challenged. In other words, today, the term liberal no longer means liberal. Truth be told, today's liberals should call themselves conservative in as much as they are clinging to popular ideas, even if these ideas are only a few decades old. In any event, whatever we should call ourselves, my viewpoints will not receive the title liberal by anybody any more than Nancy Pelosi could ever describe herself as a conservative. And so, taking the current definition, flawed as such a definition may be, I present my own unique understanding of current liberal thought in a tongue-in-cheek fashion. I took the time to write out a manifesto for the liberal, and I did it in the first person. Of course, even though the style is satirical, I am very serious. No, I doubt that you will ever hear a liberal describe himself or herself in exactly this fashion, but these are the honest sum totals of their connecting pillars with all the subtle contradictions. I realize there are exceptions to the rule, and not all liberals think this way, but exceptions ought not make us ignore the rule. Otherwise, we pay no attention to the big elephant in the room. I apologize to my liberal friends for describing you with a Republican mascot, and so, without further ado, I present the Liberal Manifesto. Drumroll, please. Starting now with the Liberal Manifesto, point one. We believe that notions of good and evil are outdated and should never be used, unless we're talking about George Bush, other Republicans, or right-wing born-again Christians who are clearly responsible historically for most of the evils in the world. Point two of the Liberal Manifesto. We are strong advocates of choice, unless people want to choose their own schools, radio shows, cars, cigars, unhealthy food, healthcare providers, amount of energy to use in the home, salaries to pay employees, location for religious assembly, location for religious symbols, and the amount of money to leave their children in a will as opposed to giving half to the government. We do continue to celebrate, however, a woman's right to choose an abortion. But we also like the laws in China that limit how many children one family can have because too many people in the world contribute to global warming. So the one remaining choice is only a temporary one. Point three of the Liberal Manifesto. We believe that having women on the Supreme Court offers necessary balance, as women will always bring a perspective men cannot offer with important decisions that guide our country. On the other hand, when it comes to guiding children in a family atmosphere, we do not believe gender to be of any importance whatsoever. Indeed, a child with two fathers is going to be every bit as healthy as a child with a father and a mother, and in such a case, female influence is non-essential to the development and health of the home. Point four, we believe in standing up for the rights of the weak and the disenfranchised, unless we're talking about an unborn baby. Point five, we believe in tolerance, and those who are unwilling to tolerate the same lifestyles we tolerate should no longer be tolerated. Thus, we strongly advocate laws forbidding hate speech, and if those guilty of hate speech do not see their speech as hateful, it only means that they are especially hateful and that their tolerance should be especially not tolerated. Point six, We believe that as regards gay marriage, church and state should be completely separated. Christians have no right to pass laws about who can or cannot be married out in the secular world. Marriage in the church can be defined any way they want, so long as they do not impose that belief on the rest of us. However, we strongly support those who sue churches for refusing to marry gay couples because, after all, this is a civil rights issue and not a religious issue. Therefore, religious people should not be exempted. Point 7. As a specific example of our inclusive philosophy, we believe that when conservatives oppose President Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court, Sonia Sotomayor, their only possible motives must clearly be racism. It couldn't possibly be for concerns about a judge who would legislate from the bench. However, when Democrats opposed Clarence Thomas and Alberto Gonzalez, race had nothing to do with it. Point 8. In that same vein, we accept Judge Sotomayor's right to claim that a Latina woman will give better rulings than a white male judge. Such a statement cannot be construed as racist because people of color do not have the power, even though this woman as a judge has kind of sort of had a lot of power for years. Meanwhile, should a white judge ever claim that a white man can rule better than a Latina woman, we will expose him as the sexist, racist, bigoted vermin whom he truly is. Point 9. We believe that all rich people are evil, with the exception of rich Democratic politicians, George Soros, Michael Moore, and any left-wing Hollywood activist. Point 10. We believe religion should be left out of any political discussion unless some Democratic politician wants to say that Jesus would have accepted illegal immigration, or some gay Episcopal priest wants to talk about how the Bible teaches that God is loving and tolerant. In such cases, religion is a very appropriate ingredient to bring into the mix. Point 11. We believe intelligent design does not belong in the classroom due to church and state legalities and should not be put forth even as a theory to be discussed. We also believe that if an instructor wants to talk about how stupid it is to believe in God, he should be allowed. Separation between church and state does not apply in such a situation. Point 12. When a professor such as Ward Churchill compares the victims of 9/11 to Nazis, his speech, outrageous as it is, must be protected under the First Amendment. On the other hand, when the president of Harvard suggests that men and women tend to score differently on math tests, such talk should never be allowed because, First Amendment put aside, the college campus must hold its staff to a higher standard. Besides, we know that men and women are not different at all about anything. Even though, once again, women do bring a unique perspective to the Supreme Court. Point 13. We believe it is wrong for a mother to spank her child. That is child abuse. But if she wants to kill this child in the womb, that is her fundamental right. Point 14. We are very concerned about global warming, and those who would ask us to prove it scientifically should just get with the program and stop being so dog-darned argumentative. However, we will ask Christians to prove their belief in God scientifically, and if they can't, they have no place in our public dialogue. Indeed, they pollute our national dialogue. Oh yes, and if Christians claim they can prove God scientifically, they should be especially banned from public dialogue. Never mind that we asked them to prove God. We only asked because we were sure they couldn't do it. Point 15 of the Liberal Manifesto. We believe that almost anything you can imagine and a lot of stuff you never would have imagined in a million years contributes to global warming, including Christmas lights and even cow dung. But the private jets that Democrats fly around to give lectures about global warming are not a problem. While we're on the subject of private jets, when Wall Street CEOs fly on such jets, they are evil. That is, they would be evil if evil existed. And in the cases of people we don't like, once again, it does exist. Point 16 of the Liberal Manifesto. We believe that smaller cars will keep our atmosphere safer, even if accidents in such cars will kill a whole lot more people than big cars. People come and go, but the planet is most important. And point 17, the final point. Finally, we believe right-wing ideas are too stupid to even debate. That is why we do not debate them. We call right-wingers names instead because they deserve to be called names. Hitler is always a good one. Would you debate with a Nazi or with the Ku Klux Klan? Of course not. Can we prove that all right-wing people are like the Nazis or the Klan? Well, no. To do that, we would have to have a debate, and we are not going to debate. Haven't you been paying attention? In the name of tolerance, free thought, open discussion, personal choice, and sound reason, we, the undersigned, do proudly uphold this liberal manifesto. Well, speaking of liberal agendas, most people in San Diego have heard the news by now. Heck, most people in the country have heard the news by now. News about the pastor and his wife hassled for having a Bible study in their home. The latest update is that the government has backed off due to all the bad press, and I still find this chilling, absolutely chilling, what almost happened. For that reason, I don't want to drop the story quite so quickly because it speaks volumes about where we are as a society today. A pastor and his wife were interrogated by a county official who discovered that they were holding weekly Bible studies in their home. Supposedly 15 was considered a large number of people for a weekly repetitious meeting. He was asked if he was teaching the Bible on a regular basis. He was asked if singing took place during the meetings. He was asked if the word amen was ever used. Apparently, yes was the wrong answer to each of these questions. A zoning license that could cost some $10,000 was then required of the pastor and his wife. Well, evidently the whole thing began because some neighbor complained that too many cars were parked in the cul-de-sac, and some right now are trying to say that this is the true issue, and Christians are falsely portraying the story to be about Bible study. Look, parking may have been what brought the officials out in the first place, but the matter wasn't settled by telling the guy to not block the cul-de-sac. It was settled by telling the guy to stop holding Bible studies in the home. I mean, this isn't rocket science. With all the loose, unbridled talk about separation between church and state, words actually not found in our Constitution, it might be time to remind ourselves what the First Amendment actually does say. Congress shall make no law concerning the establishment of a religion or prohibiting its free exercise thereof. Friends, if those words were not meant to protect a man's right to worship with his own friends in his own property, what on earth are they protecting? It seems ironic to review such basic human liberty, but then we are living in times that make logic stand on its head. So please indulge me as I raise just a few basic bonehead questions. First, who exactly is being hurt when people hold a Bible study or prayer meeting in their home? How on earth does it infringe on the rights of others? And assuming no harm is being done, does not a person have a right to do what he wants on his own property? When people invite their friends over for a Mary Kay meeting or a Tupperware party or an Amway lecture, do they need to have a permit? Would a committee meeting from a secular school be off limits in an American home? Would a gay activist meeting or a Muslim meeting be off limits in an American home? We won't live to see the day. What's next? The abolishment of family devotions and prayer at the dinner table? Christians, we need to stop rolling over and playing dead for such nonsense. This is not ancient Rome where we have no choice but to meet in the secret catacombs. We are citizens of the United States with the same rights to freedom of speech as everyone else. The Establishment Clause does not mean that religious practice is censored unless I'm inside some kind of cathedral. Instead, this First Amendment guarantees that no Americans will ever be forced to believe in a religion against their will. The intent of our forefathers was not freedom from offense. They knew speech and open practice would often be offensive. Why else would they have passed laws to protect it? Now, I want to talk to my fellow secular citizens for a moment. I have no desire to impose my Christianity on you. Honestly, I don't. I respect your right to believe whatever you want. Still, with all due respect, if you do not wish to see a cross on the hill or a manger scene, your first potential option is to turn the other way. If the sight is unavoidable, then you can laugh at the foolish beliefs and just be thankful that nobody is forcing you to embrace them. If you are bothered because of cars parking in your neighborhood and passengers getting out of the vehicles with honest-to-goodness leather-bound Bibles in plain view as they walk to the front door of the Bible study host, so be it. For myself, I don't care to hear people swear, and I don't enjoy listening to people say things about Christianity that I know to be untrue. But we experience rants and raves against Jesus Christ all the time, on television, in the classroom, on the internet, in the office, and just about every other forum one can possibly imagine. we Christians can take it. We've been taking it for a long time. So can you take it when the shoe is on the other foot? The First Amendment must cut both ways. I will defend to my death your right to not be religious and to say anything you want about Christianity. I will. But I will speak my beliefs as well. Make no mistake about that. Now, I have met atheists honestly convinced, sincerely convinced. I mean, nice people, friendly people, and they sincerely, honestly believe that Christianity is trying to take over this country. I feel bad for them because I know they truly believe that. Ironically, a lot of these same people do not seem as bothered by the religion of Islam, which openly teaches in its own scriptures that every person in the world must convert or die. In England, the religion of Islam is growing at an alarming rate. Hate speech laws are being passed forbidding people to speak against Islam. Sharia law is slowly replacing English law in Muslim communities. This means that a growing population will not be expected to accept the rule of democracy. America may not be far behind. In the news just recently, in America, a professing moderate Muslim who owned a TV station murdered his wife. It's an honor killing. Called the police and bragged about what he did. None of this seems to concern people, but when a man and a wife hold a Bible study in their home, that concerns people. Yeah, we might be going the way of England, but is there no hope for merry old England anymore? I've always wanted to visit England. I wonder now if the country will even be recognizable in 10 years. As a matter of fact, wouldn't it be interesting to find out? How about a time trip 10 years into the future? Come with me as we transcend the boundaries of time and space, as we pop the pond and see what awaits us on the other side. There it is. I can see it from here. Merry old England and London. So far, London looks the same. In fact, is that Big Ben I see out in the horizon? It is. It's Big Ben, and not at just any time of the day. It's Big Ben right before the stroke of 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, we're in for a treat. When the clock strikes three, we'll hear that famous chime. Here it comes. Well, that wasn't quite the Big Ben we've grown to love. It sounds more like Big Ben Laden. Okay, time to return to the year 2009.